A business that has its ups and downs. A chat with Andy Baird of Cameron Balloons. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Aero TV spent several days last month at the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta. ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell took advantage of the opportunity to talk about the sport with a guy who's made his living in it for more than two decades, Andy Baird of Cameron Balloons. We'll hear that conversation today.
I've been coming out here since 78, although it's been quite a few years, unfortunately, since the last time I was here. And I got to tell you, the technology blows me away. Every year, people are tweaking and engineering and doing amazing things. And as a manufacturer, I imagine you've got some amazing stories to tell about the progression this industry has encountered and undertaken over the last couple of years. But before we get to that, one thing I want to know is, what's life like as a balloon manufacturer?
Well, you know, the old joke is, of course, this business has its ups and downs. This event is a great showcase for what ballooning's all about. We've had wonderful weather. You know, I can't imagine manufacturing anything else. When you have a passion for a sport, or in this case, you know, part of aviation, it's great to be involved, and manufacturing is a wonderful thing.
Now, tell us about Cameron Balloons. Where did you come from? What's the size of the company now? What's your capability?
We are the largest manufacturer of balloons in the world. We got our start about 40 years ago. We're made up of two separate companies, Cameron Balloons US, which is my company, and Cameron Balloons Limited in England, which is the larger and older of the two, founded by Don Cameron, who is famous in his own right for everything that he's done in ballooning. But we've been servicing the U.S. market for about 30 years. We've been doing this a long, long time. And one of the things, as you may know, that we're famous for is building special shapes. And I guess we're proud to tell everybody that we've built more shapes than all the other manufacturers around the globe combined. So that gives you a sense of what we've done.
Now, what's a typical year for Cameron Balloons? What will you build? What kind of machines? Are you strictly in hot air? Do you do any gas ballooning?
Well, speaking for Cameron Balloons US, 90%, 99% almost of what we do is hot air balloons. So everything from a one-man hopper to a 20 or 24-passenger balloon and everything in between. We do some special projects for the automotive industry and some other clients, some military projects, but the mainstay of what we do is building hot air balloons for people like you and I.
Do you do any gas ballooning work at all?
Not yet. I've not flown gas yet. I have a burning desire to do so, so to speak. It's a tough thing to fit into my schedule. But we just did introduce, actually, over in Europe, a brand new hydrogen-capable gas balloon. Made its first flight at the Gordon Bennett just a few weeks ago. Flew very well, so we're excited about what the future holds for gas ballooning.
Now, Cameron does everything. You do envelopes, all senses of the equipment, and so forth, but that's covering an awful lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate in a way that these are very simple aircraft. You know, it's man's oldest form of flight. There really aren't any moving parts. There's no electrical system. There's no fuel pumps. It's a really straightforward system. But there are a lot of different skill sets and talents within that makeup. So, yeah, we weave the baskets. We sew the envelopes. We specify the fabric so it's made to our specs. We have the tanks and the burners machined, and we, of course, assemble those. So there's a lot to it.
What is today's conventional balloon? If somebody is coming out of the general aviation industry, like a lot of our readership, and is looking at what we're doing out here and going, boy, I really want to be a part of that. What is the quote-unquote average balloon?
Balloons are measured by volume, so we think of them in those terms. Obviously, the larger the volume, the more lift they can generate. So a typical balloon for sport ballooning, for, again, people like you and I, would be what we would call a 90. So that's 90,000 cubic feet. That generates about 1,800 pounds gross lift. And a typical configuration would be a basket just a little bit smaller than the one we're standing next to right now, probably one burner and two 15-gallon fuel tanks. That would be the basic configuration. And in terms of costs, you know, it's a lot like a new car. $35,000, $38,000 is a typical range for getting into ballooning with brand new equipment.
And one thing I've been told to keep in mind, that there's more to ballooning than the balloon in regards to supporting this endeavor.
Yeah, there's some ancillary equipment that you need. There's an inflator fan, some radios, a vehicle to transport it, although that can be as simple as a $300 utility trailer and tow it behind the family vehicle. So you don't have to go overboard with four-wheel drive and lift gates and all that sort of thing. But the needs are fairly simple, and most people start with the basics, and then as they get more and more in tune with what they really need, they add on to their equipment from there.
Let's talk about the business model a little bit. What kind of business is ballooning?
Ballooning really started in its heyday in the late 60s, early 70s, and peaked out in the mid-80s. Since then, it's the sport as a whole has matured and declined to some degree. You know, it's all cyclical. But it's a good business to be in. I've earned my living in ballooning in one way, shape, or form for 25 years. I'm glad I'm not doing anything else. This is exactly where I want to be. We have three market segments. We have sport pilots that just want to come here and fly and you know, have a good time. We have the corporate accounts. These are balloonists or companies that operate a balloon with a logo on it specifically to promote their company. And then we have the ride operators, people that make their living taking other people for a flight.
How do you look at the future of ballooning and, more important, the future of Cameron?
I think our position within the industry is just fine. We've been one of the leaders in the industry for a long, long time. I don't see that changing. The industry as a whole, you know, it's cyclical. As I mentioned, it goes up and down. I think one of the things that's happening right now is that we all have a lot more choices as to what we do with our time. And I think socially, people now are trying to experience a lot more things rather than specializing in one. And I think the internet has been a big part of that. But I also see that there'll be a reversal in the not too distant future where people will say, I want to do something really well. And I think when we get to that point, we'll have another resurgence in the industry.
Are there any bright spots on the horizon for the industry?
Oh, there's always bright spots. I think, you know, we, for a long time, we've sort of described the graying of the industry. You know, we're all getting older. We're not getting as many new people into it. That's absolutely true. And I think we're at a point now where we are seeing some younger folks coming in. You know, many of us that have been involved with the sport for a long time got started in our 20-somethings. We went through a period of not having that, but it's starting to happen again.
When we return, how do you get started in ballooning? More in a moment with ANN's Jim Campbell and Andy Baird of Cameron Balloons. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Jim Campbell's talking with Andy Barrett of Cameron Balloons. If someone really wants to fly airplanes, it's pretty easy to find instruction. But you don't see airports with "Learn to Balloon Here" signs hanging on the fence. You have to be fairly committed to even get started.
If you really want to get into ballooning and learn, buy a balloon, because there are very few out there to be rented for training purposes. But how does somebody get educated in regards to entering this particular hobby?
You know, there's a few ways to do that. I would say the first thing you should do is contact a local balloonist, or maybe even several. You can usually find them in the Yellow Pages. There are some companies there that, you know, they sell balloon rides. And through that network, you can find people that maybe fly for fun. Get involved. Find out if it's for you. Crew, help out, experience it, maybe get a flight or two, and find out if it's really what you want to do. If that's the case, then you need to go get training. And there are two approaches to that. You can go to a flight school, of which there are a handful around the country. You know, set aside maybe a 10-day block, come to Albuquerque, for example, get your training done in a short period of time, then go back home. The other way to do it is a little bit more drawn out, but it's to learn in your own backyard with a local pilot. Many of us are also instructors, and so we're glad to instruct in either our equipment or somebody else's equipment and learn in your own backyard.
In the conventional aviation world, we're used to the fact that, you know, we're our machines are certified according to a certain standard and so forth. How do you deal with producing a product and getting it past the FAA?
We all the same aviation regulations apply. So it is a fully type certificated aircraft. It has to have an annual inspection. We as a manufacturer have to meet all the requirements of the FAA. So even though it's a simple process and a very simple aircraft, we have to go through the same quality control systems. And once you own it, treat it just like any other aircraft. Annual inspection, pre-flight inspections, you know, you want to make sure that it's ready to fly.
Well, what are some of the maintenance aspects of owning and operating a balloon? What are you looking for outside of the fact that don't burn it up?
At an annual inspection, we will inspect, you know, every square inch of fabric. We'll look for holes, look for any stitching that's been caught or snagged, any abrasions. We'll check the operating temperatures of the aircraft because there's some little telltales that record that. We'll inspect the tanks, we'll inspect the burners, we'll strip them down actually and lubricate everything. So there's a long checklist of things that have to be done. None of them are terribly high tech, but they have to be done in accordance with the guidance.
You bring up an interesting point. How is a balloon instrumented?
We have an altimeter, a vertical speed indicator, and a temperature sensor called a pyrometer, and that measures the temperature near the top of the balloon. That's critical for two things. One, it gives us an indication of how much lift we are or think we should be generating, and also because we have a temperature limit on the fabric. So it allows us not to exceed those limits.
And what happens if you do exceed the limits? Does that require an immediate inspection?
No, typically not. Unless you go extremely high, which is very rare. But no, it reduces the life of the aircraft. It's fabric. So over time, with exposure to UV and heat and to abrasion, normal wear and tear, it will weaken over time. And so one of the things we test for every annual is we actually test the strength of the fabric. We have a little pull tester. We'll test every color in various places in the envelope, make sure it's got an adequate margin of strength to continue to operate for the next 100 hours or 12 months. And so over-temping reduces the overall life, but there's no immediate threat.
What kind of materials are in vogue in regards to the balloon envelopes themselves?
Most of the balloon is made of a ripstop nylon. In our case, it's made specifically to our specifications. It's coated, it's treated, it's dyed, so it's in all these bright, colorful colors. But it's there to be strong, and it's there to not let any air through it. We want it to be totally non-porous. 90% of the balloon is nylon. The area just around the mouth of the balloon, which is closest to the burner, is made out of Nomex, which we all know is a fire retardant material. But that's it.
Interesting. And I would assume the basic care and feeding when it's not flying is keep it dry, keep it clean, and keep it out of sight.
Yeah, we pack it away into a large bag, and we want to store that preferably not in a trailer because trailers get very hot, but store it indoors in a garage, keep it off the ground so it doesn't get damp, and that's it. It's low maintenance.
Cool.
Interesting. Now, you use propane, per se, as a quote-unquote fuel. How difficult is that to handle? What do you need to know about propane not to get burned?
Well, you're absolutely right. We use LPG, liquid propane gas, and we actually draw the liquid out of the tanks. You know, in a barbecue grill, we're taking the vapor off the top. Here, we're using the liquid, and we're vaporizing it in the coils that are at the top of the burner. But it's basic common sense. You know, propane, when it expands, it's very cold, so we don't get exposed to it on our skin. We want to have all the sources of ignition under our control. And, you know, in the valves themselves have check valves in them, so even if you disconnected a hose with the valve on, you're not going to get a leak. So it's straightforward.
Is there any nuance to operating the burner itself? I can imagine you could do a fair amount of damage with one of those things.
A lot of the burners here, a lot of the balloons here have double burners, and each burner puts out about 18 million BTUs, so it's a lot of heat. But it's a nuance. It's a timing thing. Operating the burner itself is very simple. When you need to operate it, that's the art. And so it's always thinking ahead of yourself. You know, when we add heat, it's about 8 to 10 seconds before that actually generates lift. So we're always thinking ahead of ourselves when we're flying.
And finally, Cameron is as iconic to this industry as Piper was to the Cub, and that's a great place to be, obviously. But how do you see your position as an industry leader in helping mold the future of the sport in the industry?
Well, I think part of our job is to make sure that the technology continues to progress. You know, it's a very simple aircraft, and it's hard to reinvent the wheel. But we look at, you know, making everything more and more reliable, making it better value, more long-lasting, making it easier to control, making it more ergonomic. And I think our role is to do that and to facilitate new pilots' training and getting into the sport.
Andy Baird is a senior account representative at Cameron Balloons. Find out more about the company at CameronBalloons.com. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. Find the video that goes with this audio in the archives of aero-tv.net, dated November 22nd and 23rd. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.